Chicago sports conversation is now.
You hope that you be judged on the content of your character, not the color of your skin, but sometimes you get judged on that. That's the reality that I live in.
The Beat.
Definitely a little extra buzz in the ballpark tonight.
Mitch Trubisky, now number two on the depth chart.
He deserves a ton of credit because he worked his tail off and he earned the spot. He put himself in a position to be successful, really.
On 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Happy Saturday. 4:08, it's the Beat. Northwestern played football today. That's all I'm going to say about the Wildcats today. Every team's allowed to have one blip in the old schedule there. Harry Tino, it's good afternoon, Harry.
Good afternoon at the Carm. Always thrilling to be on the Beat on Radio 720 WGN, Chicago's classic radio station. At least... With Northwestern, you say, well, you know, one team in the area was due for a horrible clunker, so that's the team that it hit today.
8-0 Brewers are leading the Cubs at Wrigley, top three.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, that's...
That was a Mike Montgomery start.
That is four times the amount of runs the Brewers scored last night when they beat the Cubs 2-0. Eight all coming in the third inning, and if the Cubs make a miraculous comeback... we will certainly alert you to that, but Mike Montgomery is no longer pitching. Justin Grimm is. That didn't go any better. Montgomery went two innings, two hits, four runs, four earned, didn't get anybody out in the third. Grimm came on, as Justin Grimm has come on for the better part of his career. One inning, three hits, four runs, all earned, 22 pitches, ERA comfortably in the mid-fives. The end is near for Justin Grimm and the Cubs.
Yeah.
Not that it's Justin Grimm's fault completely, but
no,
I've seen enough.
I see Justin Grimm playing for the new baseball team in Rosemont next year.
That would be a good look for him. Maybe he can redevelop. We're on the eve of Bears football, Harry.
It's a new season. If you check the papers, the Bears are tied for first. And I believe it's possible they could stay there all year. The Bears right now tied for first. It's anybody's ball game. Green Bay's got a very, very tough contest with the Seahawks tomorrow. The Lions have a tough battle going up against Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals, who we don't hate as much as the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Lions are not in an easy game at all. It's possible the Bears could be the only squad with a victory tomorrow in the NFL North.
I like the optimism. Bears have made a move today. Their best defensive end, his name is Akeem Hicks. For those of you diehards out there, you know that, but others who have been casually following the Bears for the now 6 years that they have not made the playoffs, Akeem Hicks is a viable defensive end who gets to the quarterback, and he gets a four-year, $48 million extension, $30 million guaranteed. He'll be able to live on that.
Not bad for a guy that played college football in Canada.
Odd story, Akeem Hicks. I mean,
wonderful story, Akeem Hicks.
It is a great story. You know, came to the Bears in 2016, very much unheralded at the time. Plays all season, starts to make a name for himself. Now, seemingly coming into his prime, making plays and getting paid. And for a defensive lineman in the NFL, it's always painful to say, but that's a bargain.
Right, right. But it is. And for the Bears to be good this year, the Bears will have to, I think you'll agree with me, the best part of this Bears team, besides the uniforms, would be the front seven.
Yes.
The Bears have the greatest uniforms in pro football.
Bears.
The front seven is where the Bears are strongest, and they took Akeem Hicks, and they said, we appreciate you, and we want you to be even stronger, and lock and load Akeem Hicks for the next four seasons. And, boy, Leonard Floyd looks great. Let's just hope that they can get to Matty Ice tomorrow.
Matty Ice and the Falcons were last playing football when they were up 28-3. On the New England Patriots, who lost Thursday night to the Patriots. So I'm hoping for a hangover. I've got numbers for you coming up in the old next segment on that, Harry.
Love numbers.
Reasons for optimism. You got to go deep into the numbers these days. I got to give you a little bit of a substance behind my just overall, hey, it's the first game, anything can happen. Go, Mike Glennon, your career is on the line tomorrow, so maybe you'll play incredibly well. Akeem Hicks now is the highest paid player on the Bears defense, not the highest paid player on the team, but and he had seven sacks last year, which was most on the team, so it's rare that a guy is actually getting paid relative to how he performed nowadays. You kind of get paid for past performance, but I think Akeem Hicks is going to have I would assume another couple of good seasons for the beloved.
Yeah, and it's really an under-the-radar start to the feel of this Bears season. Usually, you know, the day before Christmas, you know, everybody's like so jacked, Bears, Bears, Bears.
Bears.
But right now the Cubs have everybody kind of focused on that. And when you're coming off a career, you know, a franchise worst 3-13, it's hard to get people fired up. But I do believe that the Bears have a much better squad than they had last year. And there's reason to hope for Bears improvement.
And there's a lot of activity going on at Soldier Field tomorrow, both on and off the field. So we can get into that here in the 4 o'clock hour. Harry's wearing a tie today. I want to let everybody know. Mm-hmm. You look very nice. It's kind of intimidating.
Please.
And I really...
These are personals.
Oh, okay. Those are like newspaper clippings on your tie?
Personal ads.
Oh, personal ads.
Yeah, you never took out a personal ad?
No.
Let's see what this one says.
I'm not quite old enough to have ever taken out a personal ad.
Oh, excuse me. That's a shot that I'm old? Here, former sports radio host in Kansas City, now entertaining Sundays with Hamp and OB and Kaz.
3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah. Right. I'll look forward to it. Oh, there's another good one. If you like pina coladas.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You look good. When we come back here in just a very brief moment in time, and we're going to keep you up to date everything with what's going on down in Florida with Hurricane Irma, and which means that we have to be on time for news, which means we have to hit our breaks on time, which means we have to have radio discipline, Dan Long. It's going to be very difficult for this show.
And not so much for Dan Long and myself.
No, talking to me here, clearly trying to pass the buck. Also, I do want to promote Coach Bob, Dr. Bob Wright, is going to be on this show today right after the 5 o'clock news. Bob is the guru in human development. So if you want to get better at anything in your life, or even an issue with your brother, your wife, your a coworker, whoever, you want something sorted out, Dr. Bob will be here. We'll do some sports, but also real life with him if you want, wherever you want to go.
I hope Justin Grimm calls in.
Yeah, we could use a call for Justin Grimm. I actually have a question for Dr. Bob, Coach Bob, around Mike Glennon and how he should be viewing his life right now.
Gotcha.
Hey, Harry, you should, and everybody, you should come to WGN-TV, flashback to the 80s and laugh along with The Goldbergs, one of your favorite shows, Harry, starring Chicago's very own Jeff Garland. That's weeknights at 10:30 and 11 starting Monday on WGN-TV.
I've only known Garland for 30 years.
That's the man.
Yeah, that's nothing serious there, just 30 years.
Okay, Curb's coming back too.
He falls out of bed, he's funny.
He is a very, very talented, humorous fellow. I'd love to have him on the show someday. If you're that tight with him, we should get Jeff Garland on here. Why can't we get a Jeff Garland on the show?
We should be able to get Jeff on.
We will have D. Orlando Ledbetter, who's not Jeff Garland, but he does cover the Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution at 4:30.
That's so awesome. I wonder what song Dan Long is going to use to bring on Ledbetter.
I think that he might take your advice, Harry. All right, reasons for optimism, why you should be excited about tomorrow.
Bears,
next, 720 WGN. Harry, do you believe in The Hangover?
I believe The Hangover was a very funny movie, and I don't miss having hangovers.
What do you think of the sports hangover? Do you believe in the sports hangover?
Oh, yeah. I think that's what happened in the Patriots, and I'm hoping that there's a little Dirty Bird hangover happening tomorrow out at Soldier Field.
720 WGN. This is the Beatty's Harry Tyner, which is wearing a tie. I'm Mark Carmen, not wearing a tie.
Not wearing any pants either.
Wearing pants. So, okay. The Atlanta Falcons, who are going to be at Soldier Field tomorrow, plenty of seats available, by the way.
Really?
I was looking at the secondary market. What do you think it costs you to get into Soldier Field tomorrow?
You're talking about just like sitting in the corner of the upper tank?
Yep.
$100.
Yeah,
$95.
So that's $95 right now on the secondary market. That means if you went out there tomorrow and you waited till around game time, you're probably in for $50.
I can't believe that. My God, it's the Bears. It's the Bears home opener. Start of the season. It's going to be gorgeous tomorrow.
Maybe $25. I think you might be able to get two for $50 tomorrow.
You're high.
Midway through the first quarter, two for $50 could be done. I would do it myself. But
why would you wait? If you're out there, you go down to Soldier Field. Why would you wait till the halfway through the first quarter?
Let's say you had a family gathering that you had to be to, and you wanted to really go to the game, but you were going to get there late. You didn't have seats. I think you could show up mid-first quarter and get in 2 for 50. I'm just saying. Okay, nobody yes. cares about that other than me. I will move on. Last year in the Super Bowl, do you remember the lead the Falcons had?
28-3 going into the fourth quarter.
28-3, lost in overtime, 34-28. Now, okay, here is my hypothesis, okay?
Yes.
I've done deep work on this, Harry. Carolina, so the question is, does the team that lost in the Super Bowl, when they come back the next year and lost in heartbreaking fashion, do they come back next year and are still in pain and can't win on opening week? Because that's really about the only hope the Bears have for winning tomorrow against Atlanta, who's got a better quarterback, a better wide receiving
better
crew.
Better quarterback. He's the MVP.
Right.
He's the reigning most valuable player in the NFL, Matt Ryan.
Right. And I think maybe the Bears, best scenario could be that Mike Glennon indeed is awful. And then next week we can have a conversation about, would it be okay to bench Glennon even though they're playing Tampa Bay and he knows Tampa Bay backwards and forwards?
Look, Matt Ryan is the reigning MVP. Julio Jones is arguably the first or second best, maybe top three if you put Beckham in there. Yeah, so Julio Jones, arguably the one of the top three receivers. Dante Freeman just got bags and bags of money because he's an awesome running back. And last year, they had the highest. They were first in 34 points per game scoring.
Devontae Freeman's awesome. The Falcons have a great chance and are very much favorites in their division, all that. Okay, but here, I'm building the case. Do you remember Super Bowl 50?
Do I remember Super Bowl 50? Yeah.
What do you remember? Do you remember the score? I know you're. I figured you'd love this.
Well, I love jersey numbers more than scores.
Right.
And I remember like if a team covered or not.
Oh, okay.
I remember like how many they won by, but I might not like know the exact score. Year New England beat. Okay, so Denver crushed Carolina.
24-10.
Right. So I know Denver covered and they were the dog and they won straight up.
Okay. Game one last year for the Broncos against. For the Panthers, rather, against the Broncos, after losing the Super Bowl, what happened?
Trevor Siemian happened.
That's right, 21-20, Denver won. So there was, in theory, a hangover from Carolina losing in the Super Bowl, lost week one, and then had a terrible season last year. Everything imploded for the Panthers last year. Reason number one, Bears could win tomorrow.
They also lost the All-Star game last year, which they still, the NBA basketball, took away the All-Star game. That's how bad it was going for in Carolina last year.
But
have since given back to them. I can tell you that in the first Panthers Super Bowl, the one they lost to New England, it was 32-29, and Carolina covered.
There you go. How about Super Bowl 49? Do you remember Super Bowl 49?
Do you remember President Nixon? Yeah, Super Bowl 49. There's a history of teams that lost the Super Bowl not even making the playoffs the next year.
Right, that too. Super Bowl 49, though, New England 28, Seahawks 24, heartbreaker for the Seahawks.
Malcolm Butler.
Right. They were good to score a touchdown, and then they weren't. And it ended up in a disastrous loss. Game one next season, Seattle, what happened? Lost to the then St. Louis Rams, 34-31 in overtime. That was a 7-9.
That was a shocker.
Yeah, that was a 7-9 Rams team. A 7-9 Rams team, which would be a dream season for the Bears, beat the team that lost in the Super Bowl in heartbreaking fashion. Reason number two, Bears could win tomorrow.
I know Pete Carroll's a great coach, but calling, instead of giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch, who led the league in rushing touchdowns, tied for the league in rushing touchdowns that year, he threw it. He threw it from the 1 yard line, and it was picked off. That's got to be the dumbest decision in sports, unless you're considering Tiger Woods cheating on his wife.
That was really, really dumb.
His game has gone to.
It has. It's been rough. He's back on the course, though. He's working out, Tiger. He's getting closer to being the Tiger of old. Since 2000, Harry.
Yes.
Half of the losing teams in the Super Bowl have failed to reach the playoffs the next year.
That's crazy.
Since 2000. That's a decent body of work right now. That's 16 years. That's 8-8. That could happen to the Atlanta Falcons. And the start of that could be the Bears winning tomorrow. Number three.
I mean, there's six teams that make the playoffs from your league. You know, I mean, that's nuts that out of 16 teams, that half the time, eight out of 16 times, that team hasn't even made the playoffs.
Bears.
That's great. That would never happen. Like, you know, NBA, the same teams go every year, but that doesn't happen in other sports like that. That's crazy.
Last one, quick trivia for you.
Yes.
The last Super Bowl loser, last team to lose in the Super Bowl to reach the Super Bowl the following season. Don't think too hard.
Denver.
No.
Dang. Seattle.
Be the 1993 Bills are the last Super Bowl loser to reach the same stage the next year.
I feel sorry for those Bills.
Don't feel bad. They had a great run. They went to four straight Super Bowls, and the Bears haven't made the playoffs for 6 years. If they don't make it this year, that'll be 7 years. That will be a franchise record.
The Bills have not been in a playoff game since the Music City Miracle.
They're going to win tomorrow.
Think of how long ago that game was.
It's a while. All right, so those are my three, four reasons. That's the best I can do for you.
You did a great job, counselor. Have you considered a field, you know, a career in law?
D'Orlando Ledbetter, perhaps. D'Orlando Ledbetter, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We'll see what Atlanta's saying about those Falcons next, 720 WGN.
You know, they've put together a really good supporting cast as well. And not to knock Matt, I competed against him for some time, back in Carolina. So, you know, real familiar with him. He had good success, you know, even right out of the blocks. He was able to do it, you know, late in games, you know, when the pressure was a little bit tighter. You know, he had some good skilled people then, and they've kind of retooled that. So I think he's got probably as good a supporting cast as anybody.
It's John Fox. Year three for John Fox, going for win number 10 tomorrow. Leader, very well liked in the locker room. Bears fans still trying to figure out good old John Fox. The Orlando Ledbetter covers the Atlanta Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He joins us now on 720 WGN. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Harmon. De Orlando, thank you for taking time. And are you hungover like Bears fans are hoping the Falcons are tomorrow, because that's kind of how we're building a case for a Bears victory tomorrow, D'Orlando. I don't know if that sounds like the only way, but that's kind of how most Bears fans feel, that it's going to take some form of something with Atlanta being off for the Bears to actually get a win in week one.
Well, hey, Mark and Harry, thanks for having me. The Bears' way to victory might include a hangover or two. That might be helpful for them. But running with the great job Jordan Howard did last year, maybe he can get loose and help Mike Glennon out there in his first start here in the Windy City.
Well, D, can I call you D?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, D, I think the only way the Bears can win this game is by keeping Atlanta's offense off the field, and they're going to need a big dose of Jordan Howard. And then when Ryan is on the field, they're going to have to put pressure on Matty Ice. How good is the Atlanta offensive line looking at pass protecting right now?
Well, they look pretty good. They set up their pass protection by trying to run the ball and with that outside zone cut blocking scheme, and then try to get the line to hesitate. If it turns into an all-out passing game where, you know, they're behind and they got to throw, you know, that line is not built for that type of pass blocking. So that will be key. If you can get some outside pressure from Leonard Floyd and Keem Hicks from his spot to get to the quarterback, that will be very key for the Bears tomorrow.
When the Bears hired John Fox, D'Orlando, they also interviewed Dan Quinn, who's coaching the Falcons, and he was, of course, with the Seahawks at the time as their defensive coordinator. Would you say that it's pretty apparent that the Bears made a mistake?
Yes, so very much so. Coach Fox has been a good coach in the league, did get Denver to the Super Bowl, was in Carolina. We saw him You'll have some very good Carolina teams, but not great. Coach Quinn was, you know, supposedly the up-and-coming great young coach, and it looks like that might be true. So, in retrospect, it does look like it was a mistake made by the Chicago Bears.
D, you guys gave Devontae Freeman, and rightly so, an unbelievable contract, And last year, he did a lot of resting with Tevin Coleman coming in. Do you see Coleman getting as much action, or now with that money, is Freeman going to get a few more touches?
No, I think they're going to stay with the kind of 65-35 split they've been working with. It was incredibly productive. over 2,400 yards from scrimmage and 24 touchdowns. And that's because those guys were fresh with that split. And I don't know of a 2,400-yard back in the league. So, you know, I think you want to stay with what works there at that position.
So let me get this straight a little bit more on Dan Quinn. He had, I would call it, some horrendous play calling in the Super Bowl. That game should never have been where it got to. Now, a lot of Falcons players could have done things to make their coach look better than they did.
Why would you bring this emotional pain to D. Orlando?
Well, D's a professional, right, D? You're not that invested. You can see it from both sides, right?
Oh, yeah, no problem. I understand the question. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so in the offseason, he calls up Steve Kerr, who was up 3-1 and somehow blew the NBA Finals to the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. I have a problem with that, even though Steve Kerr was a great player here. He talked to Terry Francona, who had his heartbreak in MLB, and he talked to R.C. Buford of the Spurs, who had their heartbreak losing to the Heat in the Finals when LeBron was there. I like that he's actually trying to search for some answers here, and I guess Matt Ryan is taking guys down to Miami. He brought a ton of guys to try to hit some off-season chemistry. Are the Falcons over this here, D? I guess that's the long way of getting to a very pointed question here.
I don't think they can be. You know, they feel they did a good job of addressing things head-on, you know, with some of the things you mentioned. But they're trying the best they can to block it all out and move forward. Until they get in some games and put some people away, it's going to be there. I mean, it was a historic collapse of, you know, 25 points with, you know, a little bit over 2 minutes left in the third quarter. We hadn't seen anything like it. So it's not just going to go away. It's not going to go away until they get back to the Super Bowl and maybe win one in convincing fashion. But we don't know, you know, if they're good enough to do that. We're going to find that out starting on Sunday against, you know, the Bears.
D, we talked about how for the Bears to win, they've got to take, you know, advantage of their best matchup, which would be, you know, the pass rush, the Bears pass rush, that front seven. Seems to me the best thing Atlanta has going matchup-wise is Julio Jones against whoever is covering him. How good is Julio Jones?
Julio Jones is just a rare combination of speed and power. We're thinking Kyle Fuller will get him with a lot of stealthy help since Prince Amukamara is doubtful for the game. But Julio can run the short routes. He can run the middle intermediate stuff. And, you know, if you come up and try to press him, he's going to run right past you. And he's got great hands. You know, the play I like to point out to people was the one in the NFC Championship game where he comes across the field on an 8-yard crosser and just stiff arms all the Packers out of the way down the field for a 75-yard touchdown. That was Julio Jones right there.
Should Mike Glennon have a pretty good day tomorrow? I mean, the Falcons secondary, that is the weakness, correct?
When I got Desmond Trufant back, when he was out, that's probably accurate. But, yeah, I think you want to attack the free safety and Robert Alford if you can. Yeah, that'd be where you want to go. Glennon is a guy the Falcons know. He played, started out in 2013 at Tampa, and he beat them in one game. But that was when Bobby Rainey ran for 160 yards, so he was able to throw off of a good running back. So, you know, that's the formula for him tomorrow. Get Howard going and start hitting those routes and get rid of the ball. That's his key. He holds on to the ball too long sometimes. But if he can get rid of the ball, there are going to be some opportunities for Mike Glennon on Sunday, and the Falcons know that.
Why are there so many Georgia fans in this city right now, dear Orlando? They were all at the Cubs game last night. Then they're going out to South Bend, Indiana, to see Notre Dame and Georgia, which is going on right now. And apparently they're all coming to Soldier Field. Was this a whole scheduling tourism type of thing that you put together yourself and you're making big money?
That's been awesome. They did this before, though, in 2010, the Georgia Bulldogs played the University of Missouri, and the Falcons played the Kansas City Chiefs the next day. And so, you know, somebody in the NFL has got an eye on these college schedules, and it's working out pretty well for the Bulldog Nation, who's out in full force. You know, we'll be at the Falcons game on Sunday also.
And now, are you in South Bend as we speak?
Yeah, I'm in the press box here at Notre Dame Stadium and took my selfie there with Touchdown Jesus earlier and getting ready for a night of college football before we head back to Chicago for tomorrow's game.
This is just an iconic stadium weekend for you. What a cool, fun weekend you get. You know, I mean, it's a great job you have anyways, but, you know, to get to be in Chicago, to get to go to Notre Dame Stadium, get the selfie with Touchdown Jesus, which is a must, and then you get to go see the Bears upset Atlanta tomorrow. That's quite a weekend.
Oh, no question about it. And if the Bears upset them tomorrow, that'd be even a bigger story for me. I'll have a whole lot of page views coming my way if that happens.
Oh, sweet. All right. last question before we let you go. Best, you get one choice. Best Southern Fried rock band ever.
Whoa, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Excellent choice. You win the four slice toaster and the hibachi grill. Thanks for playing.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, D. Orlando. That is our new best friend, D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Carm, do you now have D. Atlanta from some Orlando paper coming on?
We're working on that, Harry. We're very much working on that. We do have Coach Bob coming up. I love the look, though. Last night, they're doing the Georgia fight song at Wrigley.
Yeah.
Now they're all down in South Bend, Irish and the Bulldog.
It's
and they're all
cool.
And they're all coming to Soldier Field tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know, when LSU played the Packers up in Green Bay, when LSU played Wisconsin up in Green Bay last year and Adam Hoge's Badgers pulled the upset and knocked off the LSU Bengal Tigers, that Friday game at Wrigley Field was all purple. Tons of LSU fans, so it's cool. You know, these SEC teams travel so well, and it's cool that they get to come see the greatest sports venue in the world, Wrigley Field, and then go to this, you know, epic college stadium and then get to go see the house that Walter built tomorrow.
Great look for them, but we still have a better life. That's just, you know, it's all relative.
They've got a beautiful new stadium there, Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Sure, but, you know, they're terrible sports fans. Let's be honest. It's one of the worst sports cities
Braves,
in the country.
The Braves couldn't sell out playoff games.
Right. It was awesome when we went down there in 03 and it was all Cub fans and we beat them in Game 5.
That was awesome. You pitched so great that night.
I did. Kerry Wood, one of the greatest moments in Cubs history until they won the World Series last year. Unfortunately, they're losing 8-0 right now. Coach Bob's coming up at 5 o'clock. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. In a major crisis down in St. Louis right now. I got a friend who I sent to the Cardinals game, Harry. This is all true story.
Uh-huh.
Had tickets at Will Call for him, left by one of our fine guests here who works down in St. Louis. And I'm getting text during the show. There's no tickets here.
Ooh.
Tickets apparently were left for last night.
That's
ouch.
Not good. That's not good.
That's not good.
Well, it's only a Saturday at Busch Stadium. I'm sure there's thousands of tickets available.
I mean, the team stinks. Why can't just give them two others?
Yeah.
Right? So we'll see how it all works out here. Drama.
I've said Arrowhead is the college football stadium in the NFL. Busch Stadium would be the college football stadium of Major League Baseball.
It's a great one.
I hate the Cardinals, but you'd be an idiot to not acknowledge how great that organization has been, and their fan base is unbelievable.
Yeah, they're really good at baseball. All right, I won't go where I was gonna go. Hey, taxi driver Bob, what's up, buddy? Welcome to 720 WGN.
Yo! You haven't heard from me for a while. I was in the hospital for 6 days with cellulitis.
I heard
administer drugs at home with the PIC line and all that stuff. It wasn't a good time.
Did you get
back on my feet?
Did you get the food I sent over there, taxi driver?
The food? No, I did not receive any food. No.
Well, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
If I had known you were in the hospital, I would have sent it. So it's kind of I feel bad, taxi driver. So next time you text me personally, taxi driver, and I would have come. I would have visited. Terry, you would have come too, right?
Oh, I would have been there. Absolutely.
Yeah, but good to hear you're doing better, taxi driver. What's on your mind?
Anyways, I'm pretty confident about the Bears this year. I hope they base their offense on doing some significant amount of running instead of jumping to the pass, right off the bat. I mean, they've got Howard and they got Tariq Cohen, who's been playing great. Let's see how the running game goes too, and do some short stuff, and hopefully White will come through. But I'm feeling very confident about them, and I'm glad that we're going to be able to watch football this year and not have to get upset, hopefully.
That's an optimistic, taxi driver. And I think you coming out of the hospital feeling better about your life.
Good omen.
This is all pointing in the right direction.
Did you guys see the Indians lately? They're on fire, man.
Well, you call 16 wins in a row on fire? It's nothing. Cubs will do that.
But it's timing, though, Harry. I mean, we're going to be coming into the playoffs, and they're hot coming into the playoffs.
The Indians have been spectacular. They shut out the Royals. They won an entire series without allowing Kansas City a run. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they did just get the benefit of playing the White Sox, which most White Sox fans I know of are thrilled that they got swept because they want that number one pick.
Taxi driver, be well, my brother. Thanks for checking in.
You guys have a good day.
11-0 Brewers.
Although I am told that it's a very deep baseball draft. If they end up with the second or third pick, the Sox would be fine.
White Sox are executing their plan perfectly. Cubs are not doing that necessarily at the start of the series. 11-0 Brewers?
A little speed bump.
The old speed bump. There you go.
How about the Brewers lost one of their best starting pitchers last night?
Which speaks again, thank you for bringing that up, Harry.
Sure. That's what we do here, right? We're on top of things.
I have made the argument a gazillion times. Don't put yourself in harm's way. Jimmy Nelson hitting a double off the wall, and he's hasn't run the bases probably in his whole career. And all of a sudden, he's going to go turn into, I don't know, Vince Coleman in his prime.
If you didn't see the play, the pitcher, he hit what should have been a double, could have been a double off the wall, and then he realized he needed to get back to first base, so he dove into first base, and that is where he tore his labrum.
I mean, he dives back into first, and then he's just laying on the ground like he's shot. And of course, the Brewers go to their bullpen and bring in, what lefty they bring in? The guy was unbelievable.
Oh, I
forget his name, but doesn't matter.
Yeah, the guy with the long hair.
Yeah, he was incredible. They basically brought Randy Johnson out of the bullpen, and the Cubs didn't score last night. They haven't scored today either. So far, the Cubs are being outscored in this series by a grand total of 13-0. I know that no one cares, and the Brewers have no chance, and the Cubs are automatically in the playoffs and all that, and I know the game's going on right now, so we can talk about this later. But it's the way that they went into the series, switching the game time on Friday. It was an afternoon game. No, we're going to be tired. You let Crane Kenny get involved. These are things you should never do.
Whoa,
what?
Well, you're upset they had a night game last night?
Yes.
The Cubs need night games. They need more night games. They need Saturday night games.
Harry.
Think of how many times they've left a city Thursday night at midnight and have to play at 1:20 the next day.
We can debate this further. We only have 30 seconds right now. They have enough night games.
I'm told you can do a lot in 30 seconds.
They have enough night games. The schedule is out. Everybody planned for it. You don't get people bought tickets for a Friday afternoon game.
And they were thrilled that they made it a night game.
No. You don't get to change the schedule because you might be tired coming back from Pittsburgh and the Brewers had an off day. That's lame. You also don't get to call a rain out when it doesn't rain, which they did to the Brewers as well this year.
Joe Maddon was thrilled. The players were thrilled they got a night game.
Yeah. Yeah, the Cubs were. The Brewers weren't. And then it just set a bad tone going into the series. Bad idea. Please keep Crane Kenny out of the decision making. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
5:07. Happy Saturday. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. I've been wanting to do this segment for a while. We're busting it out today. It's the inaugural voyage, if you will. We are here for you, 312-981-7200. Any issue, way you want to get better in your life, something that you've been mulling over, whatever's on your heart that you're thinking, you know what, I'd like to sort of improve myself or figure this out, you can call us right now, and we got a guy on the line who I'm going to call Coach Bob. Coach Bob is also Dr. Bob Wright from the Wright Foundation for Human Potential. He is internationally recognized as an author, a speaker, a visionary, and he can help you with what's ever going on. I've got my own questions. I know you do too, Harry. But for the person who shares the best question, the most interesting, we'll give you Lou Malnati's Talking to Coach Bob, and you're going to make your life better. All that's happening. 312-981-7200. Harry, you're smiling. Why are you smiling?
Because if somebody would bring up their innermost, deepest, darkest secret just to get free pizza. But well, it is Lou Mal's.
It's Lou Mal. Nice. Coach Bob, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Mark. And it's nice to hear you, Harry.
It's great to have you on, Coach. And I'm a big believer in therapy. And I think that a lot of people can be helped by simply calling into the show right now. So give us a buzz and talk to Coach Bob, 312-981-7200.
But Coach Bob, this isn't therapy, right? This is just a little coaching. We're not doing anything that heavy, right?
Well, you know, therapy assumes there's something wrong with you. We like personal growth and development. And it's just like sports. You get better and better at sports, and we like to help you get better and better with your life.
Well, and so I wanted to dive in here, Coach Bob. You got a guy starting tomorrow for the Chicago Bears, the home opener. It's the slate's clean. They're 0-0. And here's Mike Glennon, hasn't started for 2 years, and he's got the young buck, Mitchell Trubisky, behind him. The whole city is waiting for Mitchell Trubisky. The Bears themselves are going to move on at some point. So, I mean, how would you coach a guy like that to stay present, do his best, and not look over his shoulder and, you know, lead the Bears to a victory?
Well, you know, for starters, Dan Wiederer and Rich Campbell have done fantastic bios on Glennon over the last nine days, where they've really talked about how he's always been an underdog and how he's learned to be on his own side in the most difficult situations. And he's already coached himself really well because his dad asked him, well, how are you dealing with this? He says, Dad, I just focus on being my best. And they do a great job of talking about how he has won the credibility with his teammates by being that focused.
Hmm. Boy, that's intense. That's some good stuff. Well, I mean, I hope he does well. You know, similar situation in Kansas City. They traded up in the draft to get Mahomes, and everybody's waiting for Alex Smith to take a seat on the bench. And Alex Smith had the game of his life Thursday night. So maybe something will click with Mike Glennon, and he'll be able to have a huge day tomorrow against Atlanta, and the Bears could be 1-0 and win the division and go on to the Super Bowl.
You know, Wiederer and Campbell talked about, I don't remember which one of them said it, that how tall people, and Glennon is a very tall quarterback, they called him long, take longer to learn to control the leverage in their arm and their legs.
I wonder, is that just football, or is that all walks of life?
Well, you know, I don't really know that, but most of us have some ways that we're tall, that we're really good, and we don't necessarily know how to focus it because we don't keep focused on the outcomes and us learning and growing and being our best.
I gotcha. So there's so many sports people that, you know, I'd love to ask you questions on behalf of, you know, how I love Jerry Reinsdorf, but I feel like Reinsdorf is so blindly loyal to the people in his world that he doesn't want to make any moves. And John Paxson and Gar Foreman have, you know, not had the best luck with the Bulls. You know, I mean, do you, you know, if you're a Gar Foreman, you know, how do you feel like every article you read is about you should have been fired a year ago? So how does Gar Foreman stay positive, Coach Bob?
Actually, I don't believe he does, and I think that Reinsdorf is suffering from the same thing that all of the Chicagoans that want Trubisky out there are suffering from, and it's called loss aversion. It's a term from behavioral economics that tells you why people move prematurely or too late, and you're talking about how Reinsdorf moves too late.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Tim Floyd got fired, but that was to back up, you know, Gar and Pax. He doesn't fire people, Reinsdorf. He believes he sticks by his guys.
So you're saying he's paralyzed, Coach Bob?
I believe he is paralyzed with a belief that he has about loyalty that keeps him from making intelligent discernment.
Well, I believe he is one of the greatest. I mean, Robert Kraft has got to be the greatest owner in professional sports. But I think Reinsdorf, you know, has been a tremendous owner, not just for the Bulls, but for the White Sox. And I think for a guy who's getting up there in age, to sacrifice the chance to get to the playoffs now because he knows that by getting rid of his minor league team, you know, by building up his minor league, you know, teams, he can get better, you know, 4 years from now. I think that really, you know, goes to how sharp he is.
Well, and finally, the general manager has allowed his assistant to take over and do what he's wanted to do all along, which is build the same way the Cubs did.
Coach Bob, you coach executives all the time. You deal with these upper level issues where people are trying to sort out how to best run their companies. I mean, the Bulls are no different. I'm curious. Let's break it down to. I want to go individual level here. I'm playing Coach Bob in a tennis tournament that is not for money. It has nothing on the line other than the fact that I just want to win. But yet. And I think a lot of people feel the same way here when they're in the rec league sports world. I'm feeling like the pressure of the world is on me here. You're laughing at me right now. But I
just can't believe we've got an hour and 15 minutes without talking about tennis.
I knew you were waiting, so I figured I would bring it up. What would you say to just the regular guy out there who's likes to go out and compete but sort of debilitates himself at times and doesn't get up, you know, live up to whatever he perceives his own potential to be?
Well, having known what it is to freeze and clutch and finally getting over it in some of my tennis, sorry, Harry, I remember the very first time that somebody pissed me off, and I launched an overhead right at his belly, and it was a thing of beauty, and I loved scaring the fart. I loved scaring him.
That's okay. It's okay. Harry would say the same, so would I. You're all right. Go ahead.
Well, it was a breakthrough for me in how to harness my aggression when I'm extremely anxious. And that is what I'm hoping Glennon will pull off.
Mm-hmm. Harness the aggression, Harry.
Coach Bob, I have someone in my world who I'm close to who is battling a disease now, and it doesn't look great for them. How do I stay... What can I do to support them? I feel like I'm doing nothing. I'm pathetically helpless as this person faces the biggest battle in their life.
I have a dear friend of mine who's suffering from stage 4 cancer right now and has outlived expectations by years. And we were just talking about it recently. And my commitment with that person is to be with that person and hear what's really going on with them no matter what. Because most of the world does what you're doing, which is not know what to say, or we say things like, oh, you can do it, hang in there and fight, and we really want not to deal with our own fear of death. And so one of the greatest gifts we can give people is to do an inventory about where we're afraid of death and be with them. And when I started as, you know, I'm not a therapist anymore and haven't been for a long time, but when I was a therapist, I had people in it die where I was very busy trying to prove how good I was and save their lives. And I realized I was afraid of my own death, and until I dealt with my own death more, I wasn't able to be with people as they were dying. And what ended up happening, as I got more comfortable with my own death, they began to feel very free to talk to me, and I was actually blessed to be able to be with people as they were dying.
If you want to learn more about Coach Bob, by the way, their website is rightliving.com, and Harry, I saw you resonating big with that one right there.
Well, yeah, it's you know, in this particular case, I'm closer with the spouse. I see the spouse more, talk to the spouse more than I do the person that's battling. And, you know, what Coach Bob is saying is, you know, very accurate. I always want to stay positive. I talk to them about how my dad's partner was given, you know, 2 seconds to live when he got his heart transplant and lived for a while after that. And I just... you know, it's tough because you know for all the problems that that I have or you think you have, you know, what this person is dealing with is far greater than that. Coach Bob, I have a friend who has long been afraid of commitment and has now found themselves somebody really wonderful in their life. How do I convince that person to not outthink themselves and let this situation go where it merrily needs to go?
Well, first of all, fear of commitment is a common issue in all areas of life, be it sports or relationship, love, or career. And there is a fear of being trapped where that individual does not really believe that he or she can be his or her own person. So they mistakenly avoid commitment when in fact they need to be in a committed relationship to discover their capacity to be themselves in the face of displeasing another person, and will they really have the courage to be themselves? And they don't believe they've got it. So they are afraid of commitment because commitment means that I closed the back door and I'm stuck. And will I be myself? Will I be on my own side or will I not?
I hope they're listening. I hope they heard what you just said.
Thank you, Harry, for asking that question. Coach Bob, I think that was for me. 312-981-7200. If you would like to jump on and ask Coach Bob a question about anything sports to yourself. And Harry, I like where you're going with the vulnerability here. I want to ask you a question about Craig Carton, Coach Bob, who's a phenomenal radio host on WFAN. The biggest sports radio station in the country in New York.
The big show, Boomer and Carton.
And the biggest show, their morning show. And here's a guy who's making probably $2 million to do the show. And behind the scenes, he's got a gambling addiction. And he gets himself in trouble with casinos and who knows who else. And so then he starts a Ponzi scheme to try to get himself out of it. Takes $10 million, or roughly so, from big brokerage houses. And now he's lost his show. Is facing going to prison, and it's over. He'll have to recreate whatever it's going to be. I look at that, and I'm thinking to myself, I would kill to have your job, and yet you had it, and you, for whatever reason, let yourself get in the way an addiction like that. I mean, when you hear a story like that, how does the psychology work of allowing something like that to happen?
Well, let's start with the loss aversion that we mentioned earlier. Jerry Reinsdorf has been a phenomenal owner for a long time, and I'm hoping he proves himself to be again. But so just because you've got money and status doesn't mean you're not insecure and doesn't mean that you know how to accept yourself. So you'll find behind most gambling addictions and other addictions, hard and soft, that there is a level at which I am not comfortable with who I am. And there's additional pressure with broadcasting to really put on the dog, to really put on an appearance. And so imagine if there's a term in psychology called cognitive dissonance. I'm great, but gee, I don't feel great. So I have cognitive dissonance. And so I want to prove I'm great rather than dealing with where I feel like crap about myself. And so I go and I look to make money to prove I'm great out of my desperation to accept myself and prove I'm okay. Because no matter how much worldly success we have, and some of the wealthiest people I know are among the most insecure, no matter how much we've got everything we think that it would take, the right wife, the right kids, and everything else, I'm still not sure that I am lovable, which is what we all ultimately want. And we try to prove it by getting the best job, by getting the most money, by winning. But that insecurity is over there, always there. And if I can't accept that insecurity, I can never accept the love that my listeners would want to give me and would have given me had I talked about my own insecurity and how I really respect the athletes who seem to be more secure than I am.
Coach Bob, you have the degree and you have the knowledge and the experience, but I'm looking at it from the other angle as someone who has been in the meetings, and I know that addiction, you know, there are addictions. The American Medical Association recognizes these addictions as a medical disease. You know, the difference being that if you, God forbid, get cancer, you can't enter a program and get support from other people and just decide that you're going to beat the cancer. But I don't think it comes from insecurity. I think that it's just a disease that hits you, and a lot of people aren't aware that they have it, and a lot of people don't have the ability to battle it until, you know, they're almost like bottomed out.
Well, it's a really complex question, Harry, and there's no simplistic answer. 50% of the alcoholics actually have a gene that predisposes
right.
them, and they remember the first drink they ever had. But another 50% began drinking. But there are plenty of people that have the gene who don't fall prey to drinking. And I'm proposing that insecurity is always at least one element. And one of the first steps in Alcoholics Anonymous is to admit that I'm powerless over alcohol and to accept the need for the grace of a higher power to get over it. So there's always a level of self-acceptance underneath most of these issues that we all have, and I could go into my soft addictions too.
Coach Bob, we're up against the break. We're gonna do this again. We love having you, and I hope to have you on a ton here as we try to have just some deeper discussions on this show, Harry.
It's a lot more different than talking about Javi Baez.
That's true. Coach Bob, where can people find you?
Well, therightfoundation.org.
Okay.
www.therightfoundation.org. Don't forget the in it.
Therightfoundation.org. Thank you, Coach Bob. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Harry. Thanks very much, Mark. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Coach Bob. It was cool.
Coach Bob, our guy, 720 WGN. Packers over the Bears or Brewers over the Cubs in the seventh at Wrigley.
Jeez.
14-0. Okay. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. The Cubs are still going to the playoffs. Let's all repeat after me.
They're going to win the division, and they're going to knock off the Nationals.
And then they're going to beat the Dodgers, and they're going to win the World Series.
If the Dodgers can get past the Diamondbacks.
Right. Moving along here, we're going to talk a little NFL football in a second, but just one reaction to Coach Bob for you, Harry, because it's up your alley. Hi, guys. The segment with Coach Bob was excellent. I wanted to add my two cents in trying to help somebody through a difficult situation. I find that it always helps to listen more and talk less. Just being present for someone does so much, just showing up. And you don't try to fix things or solve the problem. The person feels supported and knows that you care just by you being there. I totally understand Harry when he's saying he doesn't know what to say sometimes. So I find it's best to be honest and actually say, I really don't know what to say right now. And then maybe ask, can you think of anything that I could do that might help? That's from Mary.
And Mary, I couldn't agree with you more. It's a lot easier to talk about than when you're, face-to-face with someone. But, yeah, I think letting people know that you care and that you love them and just want to be there for them. It's a lot like being a Bears fan. I want the Bears to know I'm there for them. I believe in them. I don't think the Bears will win a lot of games this year, but I think that they're moving in the right direction.
How many players, as we transition to the Bears off that text, how many players on the Bears in year three of John Fox and Ryan Pace do you think were on the original roster that they inherited?
Like three?
Nine of the 53, right?
Yeah.
And
it was not a great roster. It was not a great roster. But I also think that they, do you call Kevin White a bad pick or an unlucky pick?
I would call him a bad pick because I didn't think he had the college history of success required for a team that was so desperate and you could not miss to be taking a shot on a guy. And I'm getting hurt, that happens, you can't predict it, but he had one season of success at West Virginia, you take the sure thing, and he was not a sure thing. I know there's no such quote-unquote thing, but when you're drafting that high, you have guys who have you can project pretty comfortably that they're going to be good players in the NFL. You couldn't do that with Kevin White.
Mitchell Trubisky has had very little college experience, but I think Mitchell Trubisky has looked terrific. I think that's a very good pick. I don't know if he needed to Pace needed to trade up for him. But I love the fact that he said, that's my guy, I'm going for it.
It's also one of the reasons why I didn't like the Mitchell Trubisky pick, but I'll say there's a difference there in that you are trying to get a franchise quarterback. So to that there's a lot more variance in that position. So that's why you get paid the huge money of a general manager that Ryan Pace gets, because you are able to discern who's going to be hopefully great like Mitchell Trubisky and who's not like Deshaun Watson or whoever else they could have gone with.
Do you know who's going to have a very good year this year? Is Alshon Jeffrey. So be prepared for that, Bears fans, because Cam Meredith, arguably the best receiver. Now, Kevin White has the highest upside. Kevin White, the jury is still out on. He just unfortunately has been Derrick Rose, you know, his entire NFL career. And Derrick Rose was awesome as a rookie. He was lightning fast. He was so great, but injury.
Let's not forget the MVP season. I feel like you can't compare Kevin White to him, but that's okay.
Right. Kevin White has never been an MVP. Kevin White has never been a rookie of the year. I'm not saying he has anywhere near the caliber of play of him. I'm just saying the way that Rose has been befallen by so many injuries in the most recent part of his career. Okay, I think Alshon Jeffrey is going to be terrific. Cam Meredith got hurt. I don't know where the Bears receiving corps is going to get their big catches from.
I think the Eagles are going to finish last in the NFC.
I'm not saying that they're going to win the division. I think the Redskins are going to win that division.
Do you really?
Yeah. I think Kirk Cousins is in the second consecutive franchise year, which means that this is the year that Kirk Cousins shines, and he's going to get a ridiculous contract next year. And even though they lost their two top receivers, they get Terrell Pryor, who gets released from Cleveland Browns jail, the penitentiary known as the Cleveland Browns. I think that Cousins to Pryor is going to be a huge striking success. But Alshon is going to be big. And with the Bears' second receiving corps the way they are, how do you give up on Alshon?
Well, if you're trying to win, you would think. I just Alshon was just too unpredictable. I get why they moved on.
He didn't have a lot of touchdowns, but there were a lot of reasons why he didn't have a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, but you couldn't rely on him. You never knew when he was going to be on the field. I thought it was time to move along. Even though I agree with you in that they're going to miss the production. I think another former Bear receiver is going to make a huge impact if we're talking about the NFC East. Brandon Marshall, I like the Giants to win that division, actually.
Brandon Marshall should have a terrific year.
Giants have the best ability in the NFC East to get to the quarterback, which is always huge.
Oh, their defense is terrific.
Right. And now Eli, can he actually take advantage of having both Odell and Brandon Marshall, who, granted, is now getting farther and farther away from his prime, but I think he's still capable of putting up at least one more good year.
Right.
That team should be pretty dynamic.
And Brandon Marshall, you know, we talked about Julio Jones being one of the three greatest receivers in the NFL. Those three receivers, I think most fans would tell you, are Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and Odell Beckham Jr., and which means Brandon Marshall is going to be single-covered all year. He's gonna have a chance to beat guys one on one because they're gonna have 11 guys covering ODB Jr. I think Brandon Marshall will have a huge year, and it's funny. Steve Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator, great. As a head coach, not so great. But Wade Phillips was like that as well.
Many guys are not suited for the number one chair, but do great in the supporting role. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. Taking it back to the Bears, if you go back to week one last year,
yes, you look Houston at
the
Texans.
Houston Texans, the Bears were very competitive in that game, lost, but they were right there.
Cutler threw a pick, and it was the receiver's fault, I believe.
22, you know, of those, how many of the week one starters, that would be 22, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, right? How many of those are still with the team?
I'm going to say.
Or how many have they lost, however you want to do it?
I'm going to say seven.
Eight gone, including Jay Cutler, including Alshon. Out the door. So that's you're a third of the roster is turned over in 1 year from your starters. We're not even talking about the back end here. So, and then you look at what's coming at the end of the season this year, 19 players are unrestricted free agents. So that's 40% basically of your roster right now. Right. So they're, I mean, the point being, and everybody knows this, the Bears are in a still in the midst of a huge transition.
And they face a very difficult schedule. They're opening up with four games that just reek of 0-4. And I love the Bears. I want them to win tomorrow, but they will play Atlanta at home. Then they go to Tampa. That'll be Tampa Bay's opening game. Tampa Bay has an extra week to prepare for the Bears.
Because of Hurricane Irma, yes.
Because of the horror of Hurricane Irma. Then they've got the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers.
Which is perfect, though, the way I see it. You want Mike Glennon, as rude and off as it sounds, you want him to fail. You want them
to...
You
don't want Mike Glennon to fail.
Yes, you do. You want to move on to Mitchell Trubisky as soon as you can.
I'm
you
not
want...
cheering for Glennon to throw picks.
Why not?
Terrible.
312-981-7200. Do you want Mike Glennon to be successful, or do you want him to fail to move on to Trubisky as soon as possible so we can start the process, get him up to speed, and then roll? 312-981-7200. I think that's an easy question.
This would be a fun question. Well, look. I would rather have the Bears go 3-13 than have them go 7-9 because you'll pick much higher and get a much better player. I get that. But I'm just saying, 12 noon tomorrow, the Bears kick off the 2017 season, and we're tied for first. I am cheering for Mike Glennon to throw for a first down, to throw for a first down, and then to throw a touchdown. I'm not cheering for Mike Glennon to do bad, after 7 weeks, after 8 weeks, and they get the bye, then they're going to put Trubisky in there.
But that's like you're looking at a leaky boat, and you're trying to just put your thumb on one hole and then hope that everything's okay. Just let the boat crash and get a new boat.
But you're just leaving the dock. You don't know that it's leaky for sure. You think that they've, filled in all the holes.
No one thinks that. No one, the holes are not filled.
See, I'm saying as you leave the dock tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow you don't have to win the Super Bowl. Tomorrow you don't have to win the division. All you got to do tomorrow is, by hook or by crook, beat that Dirty Bird team from Atlanta. So I want Mike Glennon to play well enough that they win opening day.
So you're living in a land right now, and God bless you for it. And
delusion.
Yes.
Yes, I'm living a lie. Say it. I think Stephanie is going to text me. I think that...
Who's Stephanie?
Your boss.
Okay,
Harry,
right.
Get in there tomorrow. We want you with Mark. Look. I think my wife is going to be happy that I get home tonight.
Okay.
So, I think that the White Sox are going to draft the best player in the draft when they pick next summer.
Well, that's possible. That can happen. The Bears having a season where they go to the playoffs, why do that to yourself?
You're outthinking what I'm saying.
Am I?
I'm not saying I want that. They're not going to go to the playoffs.
So you just want to win week one and have a nice...
The over-under on the Bears in Vegas is 5.5. I would bet the under. Okay? I don't see any way that the...
So why do you want Mike Glennon to play well?
Because it's opening day, and I want to beat Atlanta. I don't want to suck coming out of the gate.
Why not?
I don't want to suck coming out of the gate.
Don't you want to get to your future as soon as possible?
No.
Don't you want to bang through the door and come out on the other side and dance?
Do people on death row say, I know it's not for 9 months, but what the hell? Let's get me in that chair tomorrow.
312-981-7200. If you're on hold, I really want to talk to you because I don't even know about our PP. I haven't read what the phone lines say, if they're on my side or not. We have a very quick timeout. 2 minutes, 720 WGN. 41-17, Northwestern lost to Duke today. Ugh. I shouldn't have mentioned that, but it did happen.
It's a night game next week, by the way. Be there. Bowling Green.
Bowling Green at Ryan Field. We, of course, will have it for you on 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynewitz. The Bears fans are out. No, Carmen, you're wrong. From the 630-773 says knucklehead. I'm assuming that means that I'm a knucklehead. Maybe it's for you, Harry, but I doubt it. 406, as Bears fans, we're always rooting for the Bears to win. We're tired of sucking and being laughed at for being Bears heads, which is why I am making the very basic cogent point. You want Mitchell Trubisky to play sooner than later. The way that happens is Mike Glennon is terrible, so you'll lose a couple games. Who cares? You're thinking about the future and winning Super Bowls. And thank you, 708. True Biskey now. T-R-U-B-I-S-K-Y.
All I'm saying is, as a Bears fan, I understand they're not going anywhere, and I want them to pick first, and I want to get Trubisky in there. But on opening day, there's no way I'm cheering against Glennon.
I'm not
going to
be sitting
there.
Okay, and for the record, I'm not going to be actively rooting against Mike Glennon.
Sounds like it.
Dan Hampton will kill me. But I'm just saying, overall, better for the team. Glennon's bad. They move on to Trubisky sooner than later. Hey, Scott, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, man. Scott?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Go ahead, man.
Hey, well, what makes you think that if Glennon does bad and you put Trubisky in, he's going to do any better? I mean, chances are they going to do any better than 8-8? Are they going to make the playoffs with Trubisky?
Okay, hold on.
Probably not this year.
Yeah, but the point is that he gets the experience, Scott, so he'll...
he's going to get the experience by learning without playing at the same time. You got to root for Glennon to do well.
Scott, what do you do?
If the Bears go 8-8, that'd be great.
Scott, what do you do?
What do I do?
Yes.
I own a business.
Okay. Will you learn how to be really good at your business if you just sat there and watched somebody run your business?
That's how I learned, by watching somebody else do it, yes.
But you actually had a job in the business, right? You weren't sitting there with a clipboard, right?
Exactly. Where Trubisky's been on the sidelines in college, hasn't proved himself really in college either. And yes, he probably is the best quarterback the Bears have right now, but with the cast that he has with him, no wide receivers, you know, he's got a decent running back.
Questionable offensive line.
He has nothing that's going to carry him through. And he's not going to take the Bears to the playoffs this year.
Scott, I appreciate the phone call. We appreciate the phone call. I'm not saying he is.
Right.
But
I get that. He's going to be Peyton Manning.
Right, he won one game his rookie year, and you know what? He ended up in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Not saying that Mitchell Trubisky's going to, but that's how his career started, and that was perfectly fine.
Terry Bradshaw led the league in interceptions, but he went on to win 4 rings with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Marino, you know, I mean, there are so many great quarterbacks that the rookie year is not about wins and losses. It's about getting experience.
The worst thing that could happen to the Bears this year is that they somehow go 6-10, 7-9, stay in the race. Mike Glennon sits there with a quarterback rating of 94. He starts the entire year. Trubisky doesn't play. And then we're in this question after the season. Well, should we bring back Glennon? No, you should not bring back Mike Glennon. You shouldn't have signed Mike Glennon. Move along quickly. Let's go. Mitchell Trubisky's he's the future, man.
There's actually well said.
Thank you so much. Darren, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Hey, before I talk about the Glennon Trubisky, 26 years ago I started working for Blue Bunny Ice Cream. And the very first day I started working, I was down there watching. Supervisor says, you know what? You're not going to learn to stand there watching. You got to get in and do your job. So I went in there and done it ever since. But as far as Glennon, I don't like that guy. I don't know why they signed him. You know, the Bears are going to win this game tomorrow, and they don't win on defensive play. And Glennon's going to have a horrible day. I don't think he's going to do anything.
Darren, great call. We're up against the breaker.
Oh,
but that's,
man, I want to talk about Blue Bunny ice cream.
Blue Bunny, okay, fine. Do you want? Just you can talk about it. Go ahead.
Darren, besides chocolate, what's the best flavor of Blue Bunny?
What's the best of Blue Bunny? I like bunny tracks. I like chocolate. Chocolate is the best.
Chocolate's the best. That's obvious.
All
we know that.
But
besides chocolate, give me one flavor.
Well, let's see. How about chocolate cake ice cream? You ever have that?
No. Chocolate cake ice cream.
Okay, now we really got to go.
Chocolate cake ice cream.
Darren, you're the best. Yeah. Appreciate you. Chocolate cake ice cream. He just detailed the best scenario.
Portillo's does a chocolate cake shake.
Here's the plan.
Can we talk about chocolate cake ice cream and chocolate cake shake?
We can.
Okay,
we can. Right after the 6 o'clock news, which we're going to get to on time, but real fast, he just outlined the best scenario possible.
Get in there.
Glennon sucks. The defense wins the game. Perfect. 1-0. Glennon bench. Bears are 1-0. Here comes Trubisky. 720 WGN. Get up, Harry. Get up. Breaking news.
Yes.
Two games into the series, Kyle Schwarber off the bench with a bomb to right.
Cubs have a run.
Cubs have scored. They trail 15-1.
Hey. It's not where you start.
It's where you finish. Kyle Schwarber now hitting 201.
Oh, he's over that Mendoza line.
He's back over the Mendoza line. 15-1 after 2-0 to the Brewers, letting him back in the race. It was going to be painful, and it is.
So the last caller, Darren, it's not just chocolate cake ice cream that Blue Bunny makes. It's Blue Bunny triple chocolate cake ice creams. Mm. You tell me Dave Jennings wouldn't like to go home tonight to a big bowl of triple chocolate cake ice cream?
I absolutely think you would.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago Sports Spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
720 WGN 607. I'm Mark Carmody, Harry Tynowitz. NFL season for real. I know they played Thursday night, but the NFL season for real starts less than 18 hours from now.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. We want to ask you the question, like, what storylines are you interested in this NFL season? We have a ton for you. But if you'd like to jump in on the conversation, anything you're actually looking forward to in the NFL season, if there is something percolating with you, your input is welcome here. 312-981-7200. Just running down the scores quickly in the Big Ten. Scores of note: Oregon is beating Nebraska 42-28 late in the third quarter. Penn State beat Pittsburgh 33-14.
Payback.
Congrats to Indiana, losers last week to Ohio State, but they beat Virginia on the road today 34-17. The Hoosiers did. Michigan State over Western Michigan 28-14. Michigan was in a competitive game for a second, not much of a second, but Cincinnati was hanging around a little bit in the first half. It's 36-14, the Wolverines over the Bearcats.
I know this might not be the right week to talk about gambling during a sports radio show, but Michigan State, I've covered. They were down 14 points. A lot of people were worried, and Sparty covered.
Did you have Sparty today?
I have retired from that.
Good job, Harry.
Thank you.
Good job. And I think you're alluding to Craig Carton, who we did speak to briefly during the Coach Bob interview at 5 o'clock. Craig Carton, host at WFAN, who ran into some gambling troubles and is now figuring out what to do next. Let's put it that way. That show, Boomer and Carton, I spent plenty of time in New York, and you don't need to be in New York to watch that show nowadays with technology. Phenomenal show. One of the best sports radio shows I've ever heard, no question. That includes Mac Yurko and Harry, by the way. Which was a phenomenal show.
And what about Jared, Harry, and Spike?
Dan McNeil liked one of my tweets the other day. I was thrilled.
Mac's doing well. He's got a podcast now you can hear on Radio Misfits.
Congratulations to Dan McNeil. I'm sure he'll be back on a bigger platform at some point.
Yeah.
Whenever he wants to be. Wisconsin over Florida Atlantic, 31-14. Duke did beat Northwestern 41-17. That was ugly for the Cats. Banged up in that secondary. Hopefully they'll get healthy soon. Iowa, a thriller as they win in overtime, beating Iowa State 44-41. They were down 3 in OT, got a touchdown to win it. Go Hawkeyes. In Maryland, I don't know why I read that score. I'm reading Big Ten score.
They're in the Big Ten.
I'm not even going to read it. Maryland won. Oklahoma and Ohio State, it kicks off in about 20 minutes.
Take the points.
And then Minnesota's at Oregon State late tonight. And Notre Dame's playing Georgia a little bit later, too. Okay, NFL storylines. Harry, what's the number one or what's one of the things you're looking forward to this NFL season?
I personally am looking forward to the resurrection of Purple Jesus. Adrian Peterson was,
Child abuser?
He wasn't a child abuser.
It's a little rough. But he was questionable parenting decisions. Go ahead.
Right. Go out and get the switch. The switch turns out was a tree branch, and then he hit his son on the butt.
Hit his kid with a tree branch.
Because that's how he was raised, and it doesn't make it right. But Adrian Peterson...
Drew blood.
Returning... Adrian Peterson... Look, I love...
I don't mean to shoot this down, but I'm kind of surprised that you went Adrian Peterson. Go ahead. Great talent.
I love kids. Spike and I used to do a benefit every year to fight child abuse.
You're the most kind-hearted good person
I know,
Harry.
No, I'm not. But I mean,
you're up there.
There's Republicans, there's Democrats. No, nobody takes a side on child abuse. Child abuse is the worst thing in the world. If you're a child abuser, they should throw you in a hole. You should never come out. You're a scumbag. But Adrian Peterson. Because of the way he was raised, he thought it was acceptable behavior to discipline his son. He was wrong. Okay, that was wrong. People, I believe in second chances. Mike Vick is going to be on Fox every Sunday. He has done pretty good with his second chance, right?
And had atrocious moment in his career.
Horrifying.
Horrifying, but
defenseless animals and what he did.
But he paid his due to society.
I am looking forward to Adrian Peterson coming back. And of all the places for his season to begin, his comeback to begin, he's going to play in Minnesota. That's awesome.
Hey, man, good luck. And this is the very end of his career, too. I mean, we're talking if he can squeeze out one more season, that would be interesting. Speaking of, I'll give you one of mine. If you watch Thursday night, which I know you did, Harry, being the NFL guy that you are, the Chiefs come back and pull away and bomb out New England 42-27. Tom Brady looked incredibly just like his age, which is 40 now. And Tom Brady has had a phenomenal career. Maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. I'm putting all that out there. However, Tom Brady cheated. And I've never been a Tom Brady guy. Sorry, neither is not. So, and I'm not sorry, actually. I haven't. To the whole New England thing, from lie, cheat, steal, do whatever you possibly can to get ahead in life. It's gross. It's disgusting. The Patriots done it multiple times. I am ready for the demise to happen. And by the way, if he's great, that's entertaining too. But look, if he's terrible, I'm good with it.
Let's not be naive, okay? A wise man once told me, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That wise man should be reprimanded.
They did this last year to Tom Brady. Oh, Brady's done. Brady's gone. Play Garoppolo. Brady was unbelievable in the Super Bowl. How many quarterbacks can come back from 28-3? And yeah, he looked average on Thursday night until he left the stadium with his supermodel wife.
Do you know how important Julian Edelman is to that team?
Julian Edelman is very important, and they're going to miss him. And Danny Amendola left because of concussion protocol.
So, but Edelman's hurt, right?
Right.
Since 2013. That's not yesterday. It's a decent period of time. They've played 10 games without Edelman. Want to take a guess at what their record was?
7-3.
4-6 without him. 4-6. He's out the entire season. In that same period of time, with him, they won 84% of their games. Julian Edelman is a key player.
They got Brandon Cooks. They got the speedster from New Orleans. They also traded for the kid from University of Miami, Philip Dorsett from the Colts.
Right.
So they've got two terrific receivers. They're going to miss Edelman. They're going to miss Amendola if he's got to miss time with his concussion. But they've got two really good receivers. And it's Tom Brady, and I believe their tight end isn't bad.
Gronk's okay. He's 40. No Edelman. There's hope for those who would like to see New England fail. I fall into the hoping New England will fail.
Okay.
Don't you?
Yes. I would love to see anybody else win that division. I respect the hell out of Robert Kraft. Can you imagine a day when your owner has to put up an addition to the stadium because he needs more room for championship banners? That's what Robert Kraft did. And he put up room enough for 5 banners. Okay, that's pretty unbelievable. Pretty damn cool. How about Ezekiel Elliott? Ezekiel Elliott did...
Bizarre.
Okay, now you compare what Adrian Peterson did to what Zeke Elliott is accused of. Which one is worse, what Zeke Elliott did? And he got 6-game suspension, I think because Roger Goodell was trying to make up for, you know, what he's done in the past, or what he hasn't done in the past. And Ray Rice comes to mind, for example. Zeke Elliott fought this thing in court, and it looks like he won. Looks like he's going to play all 16 games.
Right, and the NFL reportedly had a mound of evidence on Ezekiel Elliott, but he, for whatever, it's just very bizarre to me when players can go to the court of law and challenge a suspension. That just seems off. To me, you're in a country club, and the country club makes the decisions.
Right, you shouldn't be able to go to court and challenge the country club.
I don't think he should be able to go to court. You have to play by the rules of the NFL. He apparently was not playing especially well by those rules. So, and it's not just him. I would rather see the best players be on the field and have the most competitive season that we can have. Ezekiel Elliott makes the Cowboys better, makes the NFL better. Everything's, but it does dramatically impact how Dallas will be able to compete this year. Mm-hmm. So you all these guys, you know, so you got teams in the division who are going to benefit. Now they're not. I don't know. It impacts the competitive balance, Harry.
Well,
so
you're looking forward to in the NFL.
I'm okay. I find what's going on at Soldier Field tomorrow to be extremely interesting. There is,
you mean the Bears upsetting Atlanta?
That is one, but also the standing for Colin Kaepernick protest, which was created by Tim Clark, who's an activist in New York. And so there's going to be a rally tomorrow. Organizers are meeting at Roosevelt in Michigan at 10 a.m., and they're going to head to Soldier Field. And you've got a bar owner who we've been trying to get on the show here, Kenny Johnson, who owns both the Bureau Bar and the Velvet Lounge, who's not showing NFL games.
Right. Thursday night, neither one of his bars showed him.
Right, and people are calling him up and saying nasty things and whatever else is going on. He's trying to make his little small contribution to what a lot of people feel is wrong. Colin Kaepernick, I don't think anybody would argue that he's one of the 60 best quarterbacks in the world. However, he is not one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the world. So NFL teams have decided that you are not worth the trouble. If he was Tom Brady, who we just talked about, or Peyton Manning in his prime or whatever, he would be in the league. But he's not. And so this is getting super emotional for a bunch of people. I mean, Spike Lee had his protest in New York. So one of the storylines for me this year is he ever going to be back in the league?
And Baltimore wanted him to come back. I mean, the general manager wanted him back. The head coach wanted him there. And yet he did not come.
He would fit well in Dallas right now. They run a very similar system. They have Kellen Moore as a backup who's awful.
Who they cut.
Yeah, right. They just cut Kellen Moore. My bad.
But they brought him back. You're right. I mean, they re-signed him. They didn't want him, the former Boise State Bronco, but they re-brought him back. Jacksonville would love to have Kaepernick.
Seattle was involved in Kaepernick. The Niners, who didn't bring him back, could use, you would think. It's just incredible. 16 touchdowns. 4 interceptions. Actually, it's not that incredible. We've seen it a ton of times, and by the way, I have a video coming out that I worked on at FanSided that ties in the Kaepernick story to what happened to Craig Hodges, who we've had on the show back in the day.
Blackballed. Maybe that's a bad choice of words.
And I don't
apologize.
On further review, I don't believe that he is being quote-unquote blackballed. I don't think the league got together from Roger Goodell or back in the day David Stern and said, hey, don't sign Craig Hodges because he went to the White House and wore a dashiki.
Do you think Colin Kaepernick is being, again, I know it might not be the best choice, but blackballed?
No, absolutely not. I think that each individual team just happens to be making the same decision. I don't think there's any conspiracy.
I think there's collusion. I think there's collusion.
In what, from the league office?
No, not from the league office, from the owners.
So you really think that all the owners are getting on the phone, or a bunch of the owners are getting on the phone and saying, don't sign this guy, let's keep him out of the league? They're trying to beat each other, man. They want to win games. They have no incentive to work together. It's a very
Harry?
Yes?
Can I help you out a little here?
Please. Thank you, David.
Okay. You're making an argument, Mark, and you're the same guy that just said, gee, I hope so-and-so fails as a quarterback because I want the quarterback of the future in now. Yes, I believe, and I think Harry does too, the owners are talking to each other. They don't want anything to do with Colin Kaepernick. Why? Because he made one little thing. He made an issue out of something.
Jennings.
And it's an issue that the owners don't want to have to contend with. They don't want to deal with it. And they frankly would be much happier if players kept their mouths shut, took their money, and shut up.
Well, that's a different argument, the back end there. I agree that all the owners would prefer that their players stood for the national anthem and didn't.
And when they can make sure that someone who has made himself a symbol of something cannot be seen, they're probably inclined to do it.
I don't believe that they work together like that. I don't think they're capable of it. I don't think they're smart enough to do it. I absolutely...
Really?
Yeah. Why?
Harry,
why
help me now.
Why would one team who's trying to win more than anything else, if they felt that Colin Kaepernick would be able to push him over the top, they would sign Cap. But the bottom line is he's a backup quarterback, and if you get to your backup quarterback in the NFL, most likely your season's over anyway. He's just simply not good enough to be worth the distraction. They're all making the same decision. But if there was a team that actually felt that Kaepernick could put him over the top and help him win and get in the playoffs, they'd sign him, 100%.
But I see, and I thought that that's what Baltimore would do because Joe Flacco got hurt, and when is he going to be available? And I thought that's what Jacksonville would do because they don't like Henny and they don't like Blake Bortles. They're two quarterbacks. I think that this is an example now for anybody in the NFL who's thinking about like making an issue out of something. Wait a minute. Remember what they did to Kaepernick.
It depends who you are, though. 312-981.
And there's one great story in the NFL we got to touch on when we come back.
Okay, 720 WGN. We don't have any time to take calls right now. People want to talk about Kaepernick. We could do it after the 630 news. I just don't believe, like, if you go NBA, do you believe that like that David Stern risked his career by putting a Patrick Ewing envelope in a, for the Knicks in a cooler so they could get him number one overall? Why would he do that?
I think that there's a very strong possibility that that lottery was fixed. And I think the Shaq, you know, going to Orlando, you could make a case that, you know, that that was good. But the Patrick Ewing to New York, you could. I'm a conspiracy theorist. You can make a case that was fixed. And I also believe there's a chance Michael Jordan was forced.
You're crazy.
Even though he's the greatest basketball player ever, there's a chance because of gambling allegations that he was forced out.
See, the media at the time...
Punished.
The media at the time went and investigated and mm-hmm. talked to Slim Buhler mm-hmm. and different nefarious
sources. I love you pulling out a Slim Buhler.
Yes. They went out and they talked to these guys. They asked these guys, hey, what's the NBA asking you? You know what they said? The NBA hasn't come around here. They're not asking any questions because the NBA doesn't want to know anything. They don't want to ban Michael Jordan from the league. And the NFL, they can't get caught in some conspiracy with Kaepernick. That would be way worse than a lot of the other stuff that's going on, which is not great. All right, news. We'll get you an update on Hurricane Irma coming up in 2 minutes. 720 WGN. Cubs are now 3 games up in the division as they got smoked by the Brewers 15-2. We'll get a little baseball.
Little speed bump.
No, it's a little speed bump. No biggie. They're fine.
Don't you worry about a thing. Cubs will win tomorrow. Cubs will win the division. Cubs will be in the playoffs.
Don't you worry about a thing. 312-981-7200. You want to take a collusion call, Harry?
You think the millennials know that song? Yeah, let's take a collusion call. Talk about Kaepernick.
Kaepernick collude. Well, we threw Michael Jordan and everybody else in there too. What's up, Kathy? Welcome to WGN. Thanks for calling.
Hi, not a collusion. Harry, I love you, but you're so wrong. These are rich guys. They don't get together and natter like little girls. Let's not hire Kaepernick. They don't care. If they want him, they'll take him. If somebody else wants him, they'll take him.
But, okay.
Thank you, Kathy.
And by the way, who are we to cast gender roles? Could be little boys that are doing it as well as little girls. But what I'm saying is the NFL owners, most of these guys are billionaires, and they're very intelligent, and they got there by doing what they wanted. Yet, they want to protect their product, and by using Kaepernick as a scapegoat, again, this isn't Tom Brady, by using Kaepernick as the example, now there's a person that someone is going to think about before they take a stand. Wait a minute. What if I get Kaepernicked? His name's going to become a verb. And all he wanted to do was start the conversation, which he accomplished. I am not a fan of him taking a knee. There are veterans that have come to his side, right, Carm? There's a whole group of veterans that have come to his side. But no, not in this country. You don't take a knee. You stand for the national anthem. I just think,
He was voted the Courage Award by his teammates. I'm sorry, Harry. Go ahead.
No, Kathy, I just think that the owners, there's 32 owners, and I believe that they privately just said, hey, let's not take them. Let's show these other players what happens if they do something like that.
No way did they get together and do that.
Phone calls.
They have their private opinions. Maybe they talked to a couple of other owners, but it's not a big conspiracy, Harry.
Thank you, Kathy.
Kathy, I love the call.
Kathy, I'm with you. They have no incentive to work together. They are trying to beat each other. They put out false information all the time. They lie, cheat, and steal from each other. They set up cameras at practices to try to figure out what the others are doing. They deflate footballs. They have no incentive whatsoever to even say what they're thinking, let alone, hey, let's all get together and ban the 25th to 30th best quarterback, who, by the way, might help your team out a whole lot. If they were doing it, maybe the people that were telling that to Baltimore didn't want the Ravens to sign him because they were the Ravens were going to be better.
16 touchdown passes last year, 4 interceptions, and he runs like a deer.
On a terrible team with no wide receivers.
There is one. Man, we got a lot of Kaepernick calls.
You want to take one more?
If you'd like.
Jake, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hey, fellas. I don't think there's any grand conspiracy, but like Jake said, or Harry said, there's maybe some phone calls that I won't dismiss at all, because I think that there's enough. I didn't tell your producer I'm a veteran. The only thing that bugs me is I don't want to say that Kaepernick's not protesting something that's important, because I know that there's some nationwide, there's some bad cops out there that have no business being cops. I get that. The problem is his protest is convenient and simple and lazy. He's protesting. He's using the flag to protest a brilliant, fantastic ideal that was the first of its kind and has endured for 200, almost 300 years. That's what makes him a target. He's not protesting in the right way. He needs to get clever. He needs to consult some professionals. How can I protest? Great. I'm glad his heart's into it, because, and he's not wrong, but that's the wrong protest.
See,
it's the United States. It's not some of our foolish, crazy politicians. It's the United States. It's the best ideal in the world.
Right, and listen, a lot of people have said what you're saying, Jake, that he's doing it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that he could have done, and maybe he's not the most educated guy on it. I'm not saying he is. But he is, he's getting it from all sides. He's getting it from the African-American community. He's getting it from the white community. He's getting it from, and he's paying, by the way, right now with his job. And by the way, the owners, it's their league. They can do what they want. He knew, or at least he should have known, that he was taking this risk. But he's also raised millions of dollars. He's donated clothes to guys who are getting out on parole or trying to get jobs. He's done a lot of good things.
And good for him, but let me say one more thing. You know why he's getting it from all sides and all colors? Because there's a lot of colors out there that are vets, and they're like, it's the wrong protest.
But
that's why not everybody, color, race, or whatever, is lining up behind him, because it's a convenient, lazy protest. It's not a wrong protest. It's not the protest is wrong. It's the wrong way to protest what he's protesting.
Okay, Jake, appreciate you. I mean, there's also, as we mentioned, there's veterans for Kaepernick, people that have served
right
in the military.
Solid call, Jake.
Yeah, and it's very difficult for me to sit there and say, you didn't do it perfectly. His message, and the fact that there are people following him, it's resonating with a lot of people. We see Michael Bennett of the Seattle Seahawks was at a party this past week. He ended up on the ground with a gun
in
Las Vegas. He did nothing. So this is something that has been happening for a long time. And because of technology, we're seeing it more now. And that is why these protests are happening. And granted, 98% of officers of the law do a phenomenal job. But there's the 2% is being illuminated now, and so he started his movement. I don't really see. Right. I still don't get why people have such a huge issue with it.
Here's what's nuts to me is the Chicago Bears, the greatest, my favorite football team, and the founding, the founder of the NFL, George Halas. This is his team. This is the founding franchise of the NFL. They're kicking off tomorrow. And we've spent more time
at Soldier Field
taking Kaepernick calls than we have calls on the Chicago Bears.
Right, because people care if they want.
It's nuts to me. Now, here's something that's awesome about social media.
Give me an awesome thing, Harry.
J.J. Watt wanted to raise $200,000 to help victims of Hurricane Harvey in Houston. He set a goal of trying to raise $200,000. He took to Twitter. He took to Facebook to get $200,000. It's at $28 million. J.J. Watt has earned $28 million for victims of Hurricane, you know, Harvey, and now you've got this terrible hurricane that's headed for Tampa as we speak, Hurricane Irma. I texted Jarrett, our friend and member of WGN Radio, star of WGN Channel 9. I texted Jarrett. I go, you can give the Walter Payton Man of the Year award out now to J.J. Watt, $28 million. And Jarrett said, well, he's got to get to 34 because, you know, that's the number.
That's a beautiful thing.
All right, Jarrett's brilliant. But J.J. Watt, what he has done, I mean, if you're not a J.J. Watt fan, there's something wrong with you.
Love J.J. Watt. Love the energy.
It's so.
But I got to take a little bit of an issue. Why set the goal at 200,000 originally?
He's not a football player.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's tongue in cheek. You just didn't understand the power of yourself, JJ. 200 grand, you can get that in 3 seconds. You're JJ Watt. Of course, you raised what's the number now?
$28 million.
$28 million.
There was a guy that got from work. He worked somewhere where he was told to bring the potato salad to the Super Bowl party. And he went on GoFundMe to get $40 that he figured he would need to spend on potato salad for the entire office. And he raised thousands.
For potato salad.
For potato salad.
Why don't we do something here, Harry? Maybe we do it for a nice, sweet cause.
Yeah, like Lucy and Reggie's college education.
Lucy and Reggie's college education, GoFundMe. I'm in for at least $3 on that, Harry.
I'm in for $1,000 worth of potato salad.
There we go.
It's a challenge, sure, but I bet, you know, if I prepare, I could Michael Phelps it.
I want to play you something from the Basketball Hall of Fame last night. There were the inductions went in. There's this really fun, sweet moment that I think will resonate with you. And let's wrap up the show with some Cubs talk here. As are they can't get swept tomorrow, Harry? You cannot get swept tomorrow, even though I guess you probably could. 720 WGN. All right. Harry, I have a couple of little Cub thoughts I'd like to get off my chest here.
Sure. And you're going to play me something from the NBA, from the Basketball Hall of Fame, as most people know, not NBA and college. There's just one Basketball Hall of Fame.
We'll get to that in 1 second. Okay. Dan Long, we're ready with that little piece of audio. Great. Okay. First of all, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you said anything nice about John Lackey in the last, I don't know, month, 2 months?
He went a long time without losing a game.
John Lackey has had a very solid season. I keep on hearing how John Lackey's awful. John Lackey pitched great again last night.
Terrific. John Lackey one mistake.
John Lackey is 11-11. He's got an ERA in the fours. All of that for a fifth starter is borderline excellent. So the whole John Lackey thing has been crawling around in me for a while. Now, John Lackey's done his job this year. He has not been the problem on the Cubs. Please stop being ridiculous about John Lackey. And he's not going to be in the rotation in the playoffs.
No, he probably will not be on the playoff roster.
Right. Now, what are we going to do? Who is playing outfield, assuming the Cubs get there, in the playoffs?
Well, are you assuming Addison Russell is healthy?
I'm assuming that Addison Russell is not healthy.
Well, if Addison Russell is not healthy, then Happer Zobrist is at second. Jason Hayward has to play right field.
Correct.
In my book.
And who's playing center?
John Jay has been, I love Elmora, but John Jay has been terrific.
Uh-huh. And who's playing left?
Joe Maddon will start Kyle Schwarber.
So if you look at what's going on with Kyle Schwarber right now, he pinch hit today. He has sat 3 of the last 4 games. It's very clear that the games are on the line right now, and Kyle Schwarber is really not a part of it.
I would have traded him, and I believe that Theo and Jed offered Schwarber to the Sox in the Quintana deal before they eventually had to give up.
Maybe they did.
Their best prospect in the minors. I think Elmora in center, John Jay in left, and Jason Hayward in right is a phenomenal outfield. If Russell is back healthy, you know, you've got to consider playing Happ in center and Jay in left field. It doesn't excite me to start a guy who's you know, thrilled to be hitting 201.
He's had a very rough year. He's
right. Last year, they don't win the World Series without him.
Exactly.
That was last
year. And he's been a lot better in the second half. He hasn't been great, but he's been a lot better. Today, he got one at bat, hit a home run, one of their two runs in a 15-2 loss. Yesterday, Friday night, huge game. Brewers didn't play. Day before that, 0-for-3 against the Pirates in game four of the series. One before that, pinch hitting, one at bat, didn't get a hit. Game before that, didn't play. I mean, he is fallen far. I just want to point out that
I would have no problem if Schwarber was not playing and was not starting. I think he's a pinch hitter on the roster, right? Because if you're down three runs, two guys on base, Schwarber can hit a bomb.
He's going to be a pinch hitter in the playoffs mostly. All right, here we go. Rebecca Lobo, one of the greatest women basketball players of all time, had the best speech last night.
Now, if anyone has ever coached their own kids, they know the joys of that. But there's also some big challenges. I coach my kids. And if you coach your kids, you know they don't listen to you. And my oldest daughter, for the first time about a year ago, played and got a chance to be coached by a different coach. And she was out in the driveway working on a post move. And I came over and I said, Siobhan, if you want to get the post move, you got to get low. I want, you know, get a low dribble, get your center gravity low, and then explode up. And she said, yeah, but what we worked on in practice, Coach D showed us the high dribble and to come to the side. I said, I know, but you're tall, and he's teaching it for a guard. You're tall. You need to get low. I want your dribble low and go up. And she kept arguing with me. No, Coach D said to do it this way. I said, Siobhan, Coach D is a 5'8 orthodontist.
How great is that?
That's awesome.
I did not know that Rebecca Lobo is married to Steve Rushen, who writes for Sports Illustrated. I didn't know that.
Long time. You know, when I met Keith Olbermann, and Phil Rosenthal just wrote about this, there was a time, very short period of time, when they were going to have, when what's now ESPN was WMVP, they were going to have Dan Patrick do their morning show, they were going to have Olbermann do their midday shows, and Harry and Spike were going to be in the middle. And Spike and I went out with Keith Olbermann, we met him, and he was dating Rebecca Lobo at the time.
That's unbelievable.
And I said, what have you learned from dating Rebecca Lobo? He goes, women do indeed have nostrils.
What does that mean?
It means she's tall.
Okay, Keith.
And for all the 5'8 orthodontists out there, for all the guys that are, you know, 5'9 that are, coaching up car dealerships, God bless you. You know, the world needs more of you.
That's true. But if for all the kids out there, if your parents know more than the coaches, and in this case, they played in the WNBA and one of the greatest women's basketball players of all time, listen to your parents. 720 WGN.